It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
What's going on, everyone? Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling on this Wednesday morning, following up on an important 76ers win last night. It was looking shaky, but then Shake stepped up. They get the win, and Embiid certainly stepped up. Big win for the 76ers. They even the series up at 1-1. Embiid, magnificent. We know it. We saw it. We'll talk about it. Phillies lose. You know, it was terrible. Aaron Nola just not good enough. The defense horrible. The bullpen horrible. I mean, the combination of Aaron Nola, the defense, the bullpen, it kind of sums up the season. It really does. They just remain not good enough, and they blow it. And we'll talk about that as well. 215-592-9494. That plus more on the table. We'll have Ben Davis on the show today. We'll talk to Ray Dittinger. We'll have AMA, the whole deal. Do it with you on the phone lines as well. 215-592-9494 for your reaction to it all. Richie Rich.
Hi, Joe.
What's up, bud?
I just wanted to try to be more enthusiastic.
Let's go
today.
Sure.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Woo.
Woo.
Hey, did you know pilgrims did not eat potatoes? That first Thanksgiving, I always imagine this cornucopia with lots of different, like, potato-y things.
Yep.
They didn't eat potatoes because they thought they were poisonous.
Well, that's unfortunate. I missed out.
Potatoes are great.
Well, did they have the stuffing at least?
Potatoes fill you up. I don't know. I don't know that.
Okay.
Probably.
I don't know. Not, I
probably
would guess.
They
I
probably had
was
meat.
Invented by then.
They probably caught some fish.
So you don't think they had stovetop?
Wow. They wish they had stovetop.
Why do we only eat stuffing once a year, ladies and gentlemen?
This is one of passion things. I think it's crazy. We should eat it year-round.
I buy
amazing
boxes of stovetop, and then you know what happens? They sit in the pantry, and I don't eat them.
Well, you should.
I should. You're right. I plan to.
All right, let's get to the Sixers here. And again, Philly's on the table as well, the whole thing. 215-592-9494. Let me say this. I'm glad the Sixers won. It was, as I said right at the start, obviously an important win. Even in that series up 1-1 was I'm not going to call it a must win, but it was pretty damn close. It was critical, okay? It was critical at the very least. But I do got to say, John, I think people are getting, some people at least, are getting carried away here with that win last night. And what I mean by that is, let me just break it down real simple. The 76ers, number one seed, by the way, home team, they're totally supposed to beat the Atlanta Hawks at home. Like, they're supposed to beat the Atlanta Hawks at home. And they almost didn't do that. Now, they did, but they almost didn't. Shake Milton saved their butt last night. Shake Milton may have actually saved the season last night. And while I'm really glad the Sixers won, and I want to hear from everyone, and obviously I'm thrilled with how Embiid looked. I mean, he was magnificent. He looked healthy. He was great. Big guy gives you 40 points. That's awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, let's not kid ourselves, okay? If you want a headline here this morning, let me break it down for you and make it real simple. The 76ers are struggling with the Atlanta Hawks. The 76ers are struggling with the Atlanta Hawks, who are the fifth seed. And to me, that speaks volumes about what the Sixers are and what they won't be, which is a title team. Now, I'm happy they won.
Man.
I want to talk about the good things. We're going to talk about the good things. We're going to talk
there
about
Embiid. There are so many good things.
John, they are struggling with the Atlanta Hawks. Ask yourself what that means. Seriously, I want everyone to
ask yourself,
what does it mean that the Sixers are struggling with the Atlanta Hawks? And they are. I know in the end they won by a nice margin. I know it was a weird game. They were up big, then they were down slightly, and then they pulled away. I understand that. But they are struggling with the Atlanta Hawks, and that means something. And I'll tell you the something it means. Sixers in the end ultimately aren't good enough. And I hate to say it, but I'll say it again for the millionth time. Ben Simmons is the main reason why. His offense last night was disgraceful. And before anyone tells me about the great defense he played on Trae Young, and he did, it shouldn't preclude him from being able to, play offense. Now, that, ladies and gentlemen, is the takeaway and the headline
no.
I got from last night.
All right, Joe. Here's the headline
Go
from
ahead.
Last night.
What?
Joel Embiid is as good as I've ever seen him. maybe better.
He looked awesome.
My huge worry was that Joel would be in and out of the lineup, and that would cost us our big chance. What we saw last night is Joel is great. We knew Joel was great, but we didn't know that his injury would allow him to be great.
He did look healthy.
Joel is playing healthy looking. Last night he was playing healthy looking on the defensive side. Remember game one, we were saying looked a little bit reserved on that end of the court, and we were wondering what that meant. We thought our championship chances were blown because Joel wasn't going to be quite right.
Yeah.
Joel is quite right. Joel is the dominant force that we'd hoped. That gives us a chance.
Well, look, we'll
Joel looked completely comfortable.
Yeah.
The injury is a non-issue. That is huge.
It is huge. I agree with you. That's huge. And that is clearly the biggest positive because – I hear you, John, and we'll see. And everyone can react to all this, 215-592-9494. You go back a week or so ago, there was a lot of fear, and I'll use that word fear, concern, whatever you want to call it, rational thinking, that the Embiid injury might have just submarined the Sixers' chances to win the title.
Totally.
And what he showed last night, I'm not going to say eliminates that because let me see it for like another week or so and that like there's not residual. But I will totally agree with you last night, John. He looked totally normal.
Yes.
And that is a phenomenal thing.
I am so not worried about Joel. I was very worried.
Yep.
I expected this to crop up and be a hindrance throughout.
Yep.
I no longer feel that way.
All right, and listen, in game one, I thought, and I know John thought, that he looked compromised, particularly defensively, hesitant, compromised, whatever you want to call it. Last night, there was no signs of that. None. He was full tilt, full go, Joel Embiid, and that's awesome. Okay, but Joel, a healthy Joel, has never been the problem. The problem is, you know, the other guy. And the other guy last night stunk on offense. He stunk. I mean, this wasn't like, he was subpar. He wasn't his best. He was average. Ben Simmons on offense last night stunk. And I don't mean to make this all about him, by the way, because – you know, there was also other factors, to me, that speak volumes about why the Sixers are struggling with the Hawks and what that will mean when they actually face a better team, if they face a better team. Let's remember, the Sixers are 1-1 coming out of Philly. Now, if I had to say right now, I'd probably tell you right now Sixers in 7. The Hawks can play, but they are a 5 seed. But when I look at that next round, I got massive worry. Okay, massive. And it's not just Simmons' lack of offense. It is the first half. The bench is outscored 32-0. I've never heard of that before. I mean, it's absurd. Now, I know they responded to bench in the second half. Sounds like Doc challenged them, and that's great. It's great that they responded. But obviously, the bench has had some real struggles in this series. I also thought, this is me, I don't know if it crossed anybody else's mind, I thought Nate McMillan might have blown the game last night. With about 2.5 minutes left in the game, in the third quarter, with 2.5 minutes left in the third quarter, the Atlanta Hawks were up by a point. It was 80-79. You might remember Shake Milton hit a big three. This was not the one to end the quarter. He did that a few minutes later. But he hit a big three, and it kind of got the Sixers going. Ben Simmons was on the floor. The Atlanta Hawks could have fouled Ben Simmons with 2.5 minutes to go in the third. They should have. They should have started it right then and there. I texted like 5 or 6 different friends and said, this is the spot right here where Nate McMillan should foul Ben Simmons. He didn't.
Yeah, we are vulnerable.
I thought it was a massive mistake by Nate McMillan. Now, listen, sometimes in life you get that where the other team's coach makes a mistake and you benefit from it, and cool. Sixers benefited. They didn't foul Ben. Shake hit a three. A couple minutes later, Shake hit another three. Sixers were off and they moved. Okay, cool. But I'm telling you, and everyone can weigh in at 215-592-9494. And I'm not trying to, like, skew negative because I want to. Guys, I want to be as Sixers up as anybody, and I'm glad they won. And I'm thrilled Embiid looked great. I am thrilled. And Shake, God bless the guy, because he had been struggling. And that's one of those moments, you know, if the Sixers actually can win this thing, and in the end I don't think they will, but if they can, that can be like your Matt Stairs homer. That can be like Marty Bystrom in 1980. I know it was over a longer stretch, 5-0. That can be like Corey Clement in 2017. the guy you don't expect it. Harold Jensen with Villanova in 85. Like, the guy that sort of, you don't expect it, steps up, and I will say it clear as day. Shake Milton might have saved the Sixers season last night, all right? He was phenomenal in that stretch. But I can't move away from the reality, and I'm going to bring it back. The Sixers are struggling with the Atlanta Hawks, and that's a problem. Look, 215-592-9494, to react to it all, do you agree that this performance, while fantastic to see the Sixers win, this is not a championship-level performance, man, and cause for concern with the Sixers? 215-592-9494.
It's not cause for concern. Think about the way you felt at the end of the first quarter. They've solved their problems. They've figured out how to collapse on Trae Young and neutralize him.
Yep.
Think about the way you felt when the game ended and we won by 16 points.
I felt, honestly,
is that a struggle against a Hawks team? This Sixers team looked like the dominant group they were supposed to look like last night, in large part because Joel Embiid is unstoppable.
Well, he's phenomenal. But the one seed at home to struggle with Atlanta, like, come on. I thought Kenny and
Charles won by 16 points.
I thought Kenny and Charles had it pegged right from the jump. Their pregame commentary, I thought, was dead on. Dead on. You know, listen, the initial surge in the first quarter, that was awesome. You see that from teams at home in the playoffs. They did it. Then the second quarter happened. Then they were in a dogfight. And, look, they pulled away in the end, and that's good. But let's go to the phones. Let's find out where everyone stands on this. What stood out to you last night? We'll get into the nitty-gritty. They started Danny Green. I'm glad they started Danny Green. Ben Simmons played great defense on Trey. They switched Ben off of Trey when they bring in Thybulle. That was well played by Doc Rivers. He didn't panic and take Danny Green out of the starting lineup. That was a good job by Doc right there. But good Lord, Ben Simmons' offense. I mean, my God. And the Atlanta Hawks, while a nice team, I mean, come on. Let's not act like they're the Nets here. I mean, give me a break. And the Sixers are struggling with the Hawks. That is clear as day. Let's go to the phones, 215-592-9494. What you make of everything that went down? We'll get into the Phillies as well. Let's kick it off with Chiro right now. What's up, Chiro?
What's going on, Joe? How you doing today, John?
Hi, Chiro. Doing
hey,
well.
Hey, buddy.
Man, I'm going to focus on the positive, Joe. I see you, I know you don't want to do it, but I see you pointing out the negative. Let's focus on Tobias Harris coming out there putting out 14 in the first quarter.
That was excellent.
Let's focus on Steph Curry hitting 5 for 5 from the three. Let's focus on Shake and Bake, Shake Milton going out there and showing he can fight through adversity. My biggest problem with the whole thing is Doc Rivers and his playoff rotations. You cannot start the second quarter with four bench players of the five players on the floor.
I don't agree with you on that, Chiro. What you can't do is play five, which is what he did in game one. But listen, it's the natural time of the starters being tired. I mean, it's what happens. I'm not worried about four guys on the court at the same time. It didn't last that long. Fortunately, he had a starter out there at all times in the game last night, which was critical. I'm not worried about that as you are.
I understand, but, I mean, in the playoffs, aren't you supposed to really only go 8-9 deep? You're not supposed to go into the 11 range.
Yeah, well,
with your player rotation.
I know. I mean, he still hasn't. Listen, they obviously are trying to figure out between Shake and Maxey who's going to get the minutes. I mean, you know, game one it was Maxey. Game two it turned to Shake in the third and fourth quarter because Shake played well. So I do wish things were a little more defined.
But this is a luxury that we've seen both players be a real boost.
I agree with that, John. I do. Let's go to Colin in Washington Township. What's up, Colin? Hey, Colin.
Yeah, so let me just start by saying I don't know if we win that game without Ben's defense on Trae Young. The thing is, we play Brooklyn. I hate to look ahead. We play Brooklyn. All that defense isn't going to matter if he scores 4 points. So I'd like to see him start getting into that mindset now because Danny Green, George Hill, we're going to need everyone to score. And like you're saying, Joe, you don't think that we're good enough. And right now we really don't look like it. The fact that, all right, we beat Atlanta by 16. Well, Brooklyn beat Milwaukee by like 40 without James Harden.
Yep.
So, man, we played well, but there's a lot of room for improvement, and we need to improve a lot if we're going to
totally
go far.
And Ben, I mean, Colin, here's the thing. Like, Ben, last night, we're all talking about the 4 points. Let's talk about another number, three. Do you know what three is last night for Ben, Colin?
I don't know. Missed foul shots?
Taken shots.
That's bad.
He took three shots. He played he played 35 minutes. And like, I know when you're on the opposing team's best player, that's going to take something out of you. It's not going to, like, take everything out of you, but it's going to take something out of you. For him to only shoot the ball three times last night, it's absurd.
And also just think about who was guarding Ben Simmons. Who was this, like, lockdown defender that can stop a 6'10
guy
with
question.
Great athleticism from getting to the basket? Because I didn't see anyone like that out there.
It's an interesting point. I honestly don't remember who was primarily defending him or who the two or three main guys were. I don't get the impression like the Hawks players there are great. I mean, they got these shooters that come in and can shoot. I mean, can Herter, how do you say this guy's
name?
Herter. Can Herter defend? I mean, I don't know.
This is such a balance. And when you say that Ben only took three shots, well, Matisse Thybulle, who was in the Ben role when he was subbed into the game, Matisse took two shots. You know, maybe that's what Doc asked those guys to do. Focus entirely on the defensive side. We don't need the contribution offensively.
Well,
it is difficult, and I know this is apples.
You're
and
frustrated with Ben, though, also, right, John?
I am definitely frustrated with Ben because I believe he can thread that needle, so to speak, where he plays great defense and stays aggressive offensively. I believe that's possible. I believe that's the ultimate goal.
I mean,
I believe that Doc is working toward that, and that's not what last night called for. I know,
but it's what next round. It's what next round will call for.
The next round requires it.
Yeah, and that's sort of my point. And listen, I want to be clear. Like, I feel a little icky today. I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, I always am. I feel a little icky. I'm a huge Sixers fan. I'm glad they won. I am not trying to push that aside. That was a critical game, and they won. But the struggle that game, and frankly, the first two games in this series demonstrate that problems lie ahead. I mean, they are struggling with the Hawks. 215-592-9494. Now, if you think I am too hard on the Sixers here this morning, I'll take your phone calls. I mean, I'm right here. 215-592-9494. If you believe that I am being too critical of the 76ers last night, and, you know, you can invoke the old Mike Schmidt comment from about, 40 years ago, where it's the thrill, Philadelphia, the thrill of victory in the newspaper day as it was, a couple of decades ago. The agony of reading about it the next day in the paper, or in this case, listening to it here on WFM.
You are absolutely being too hard on the Sixers. Because, listen, it is unfair to ask the Sixers to go out last night and beat the Hawks and beat the Nets at the same time.
That sounds like that's
what you required. You needed to see a team that was dominant enough to beat the Nets. We don't know what that Nets matchup will look like. You never know what how a series will unfold until you see the series unfold. Last night they did everything that was necessary to beat the Hawks and to beat them pretty handily.
Yeah, no, I do get that, John. And you can't play two teams on the same night. But I guess part of my frustration is when you see Embiid play like that. I mean, my God, was he amazing. And so good to know that he looks healthy. Whether he's in some pain or not, who knows. But he absolutely looked normal and tremendous and a real case for, hey, this might be the second best player in basketball behind LeBron. And that's all good. The negative related to that is because you have a guy that good, you have a chance right now, in a month, to win the championship. I mean, it's when a player is that great, you have a chance to win the championship, and that's where I get all the more frustrated with Ben, because I feel like he's just not holding up his end of the bargain when Embiid is not only amazing, but playing through an injury and giving you that. That aggravates me. 215-592-9494. Now, Tobias answered the bell right out of the gate. He was great. Seth Curry continues to be really, really good. Danny Green was a little up and down, but I'm glad they started him, and they should continue to start him. Let's go to Cooper right now. Cooper, you're on WIP. Cooper.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, buddy.
Hi, Cooper.
Hey, I just want to talk about all the hate against Ben Simmons recently.
Okay.
I just think that, these are the guys we got, and applying more pressure on them, especially on a five seed, is just, I think we should just straight up support support Ben because he's more of like.
So this is that. Just cheer him and never get frustrated with him and never show him
well,
you're
not
frustrated.
Only that,
that
but
phone call?
I feel like we're not really struggling with the Atlanta Hawks. I mean,
oh boy,
we won by 16 without him scoring a good amount of points, and he's usually scores upwards of 16 points a game. You know.
Well, not lately, for what it's worth. And, I mean, Cooper, I we get these calls from time to time. It's the let's just support him thing. And, you know, the Doc Rivers, you know, cherish him. And you made the Draymond Green comparison. See, here's the thing. The Draymond Green comparison works to me for me if Ben makes less money. But you go in there and you say, hey, max money time, max money, pay me, pay me. Show me the money. All right, show you the money. Well, then show me more points. If you want to be Draymond Green, if you want to be, you know, role player guy, then be role player guy, make half the money. But if you make all the money, meaning max contract, don't talk to me about role player guy. 215-592-9494. That's just the way it goes. Joe to camera, John Ritchie, your reaction to it all. The Sixers' performance last night, there was a lot of good, and we'll field those phone calls. But I thought there was some real cause for concern as well. If you agree with me, we'll take those calls. Also, we'll get into the Phillies up ahead and more. Joe to camera, John Ritchie on WIP.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.